Chris, we were talking earlier, and you can apply this to your college or pro or both experience. How often is it that either in college you look back on a recruiting class, and let's say you played a couple of years with these players, and a player that you either didn't pay much attention to, or you did, but you just decided the fit's not good, and the player ended up somewhere else, and they're just dominating, and you have regrets, or in the draft. It could be both, Chris, because I don't care who you are. Everybody's had that happen to them. You could be the best evaluator in the history of the planet, and you're always going to look back on this over here, that over there. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, pretty much everybody does it in the NFL, and most people in college do it. I do this myself. I call it scouting the scouts. And so to take it a step further, I evaluate every, you know, group of players in a given year, but you can't do it, you know, till a couple of years down the road.
Right.
So, like, I will look at players in the recruiting class, and I will look at draft classes, and I will look and see how I evaluate them, what I – not just where I graded them, but what I said about them, and does that pan out? There is – so you do that a lot. Now, what you're talking about is more specific. How did we miss that guy? How did this guy not get – it happens, and it happens a lot because – there is a variable that you just can't ever determine whether doesn't regardless how hard you work is guys develop a little bit later, and then not every player will end up being as productive as he is where he is if he maybe would have been in your place. And I think that's kind of lost into it. Would he have got enough playing time? Quite frankly, would the position coaches done a good enough job with them? I give you an example, just one that's local. Year we drafted Javon Kearse. With all due respect, if we hadn't made a position coaching change at that position, he wouldn't have had the impact his rookie year. Same player, same thing, but how one guy coaches versus another. So sometimes it's, well, how did we miss them? It's not always that. It's sometimes it's, boy, how did they do a good job of developing them or a poor job of developing them? And then the other thing you don't know is, what if the kid just becomes a little – everybody thinks all these kids work equally as hard. They don't. So what if a kid just loses his desire and, you know, he meets a girl on campus and football's not as important to him, and he shows up for all the meetings, but he doesn't put the extra time, he doesn't work as hard. There are a lot of variables that go into it, but to answer your question, we do it all the time. And what I always do is, did I have a certain theme that I missed? I tell you something as simple. I can remember going to Arkansas State one year. And I was in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And, Bill, I had the flu. I was as sick as a dog. And I did a horse bleep job of scouting that day. And I missed a really good linebacker because I just was sick and didn't have time to go back in. And I didn't do a good enough job of checking back. I looked at more film later. But I just did a bad job that day. I had a bad day. Coaches have a bad day. Players have a bad day. And so you have that. So you got to go back and look and say, all right, is there a pattern? Is one guy missing a certain position consistently? Is one guy and if you can find themes, you can correct it. If you just, have a bad day, you have a bad day. But, yeah, so, like, for example, you might have the D-line coach that just doesn't do a very good job of evaluating, I'm talking in college now, the secondary. Or running backs. I mean, you'd be surprised, relatively speaking, of course. So, yeah, you go back and look and say, well, what are we missing? It's why I always had the philosophy. I wanted the guys in college, I wanted to have the coaches be area scouts in the spring, but then be cross-checked by the position coach in the summertime before we got into our fall schedule. Now, this is in the old days where you didn't have a ton of analysts doing a lot of that, because back in the day it was just like, at LSU's me and Sam Nader, and that was it. you know, and so we had to do all of it, the work of which you got now sometimes 15, 20 people doing, but that's mainly all those people, as you know, are doing digital stuff and all. We didn't have all that kind of stuff. But you absolutely study it, and you have to, and that's quality control. That's making sure that you're doing it right, and if you're not doing it right, what is the theme that you can correct the person doing the evaluation, or you can get a better evaluator, and all those things are in play.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. If you're the head coach at State U in Georgia, Florida, Texas, California, I'd say that comes back to haunt you, even if you are doing a really good job of evaluating. I'd say you get a lot of that coming back across your desk, regardless, right?
Yeah. I mean, in college, you know, missing guy in the NFL is missing it. You don't really. Now, you get a little bit of that.
Right.
You get a little about, you know, like the Falcons folks catch a lot of heck because they don't draft enough Georgia players. And the Saints get like, they don't draft enough.
Right.
But that's a, you got, you know, it's a fewer number of people, and it's just a lot of things have to settle. Not like recruiting. Do not, and you will hear most head coaches say this, most head coaches that are good recruiters say, guys, do not miss on a player in state. Do not miss on a player in state. Because if you miss a player out of state, the further away you are, okay, you miss a player in state that wanted to come and you didn't offer them, have mercy on you. Because that's a real, real problem there. Because you're dealing in recruiting with the sales aspect, you know, your relationship with high school coaches. And you always tell guys, you know, you the high school coaches will obviously speak up for their players. But sometimes you just say, coach, look, you know, of your guys, these are the three we're going to recruit, and the other two we just can't offer. You better be right. And so you always say you make sure if it's a local kid, an in-state kid, man, it is tough. It is tough to live that down, no doubt.
Alec Whipple Bob says, Bill, can you ask Chris the difference between the behind-the-scenes programs at, like, Alabama, Clemson, and then his team, which is Penn State? He says, for example, how many grad assistants, how many analysts, what does Alabama and Clemson necessarily do differently, and the amount spent by each team? So,
you know, believe it or not, we did some research. For example, Georgia really spends – probably the most. Alabama doesn't spend nearly as much as people think because they get guys who are under contracts with previous. I mean, they didn't pay Butch Jones much. Tennessee did. Tennessee paid for him. I mean, that's how that they can get guys in. So they spend less than you might think. Penn State's got. They don't really lack. They're not. They can hire pretty much what he wants. Now, the quality of guys and his ability to get those guys, I mean, look, success breeds success, right? When you've got, when you're a Nick Saban and you dabble that's had success, you can get guys to come in that want to learn, that want to be a part of it. You're limited on your GAs, but GAs are kind of, not replaced, but their roles are a lot different with the analysts. The GAs can still do stuff on field, but you don't. That's not where you're very limited at. So everybody's got the same number of GAs, but it's the analysts, and some have a little bit more. But like at a place like Penn State, it's not like they can't. They'd like to hire five more guys, and they can't. It's really more the quality of who they have. Alabama, Georgia, they get a little bit more. But I would say that, you know, Penn State's still in the top 15, top 20 nationally. Not as much as Georgia or Clemson pays, but they're fine. They just don't get quite the quality, and that's the what they do is basically is individual to the head coach and his organization. But you got different aspects, recruiting that you handle certain things, and what we call film study of your current team, which is quality control, as well as studying upcoming opponents on your schedule, and also studying other programs that even if they're not on your schedule, to ascertain certain things that might be a fit. So, for example, you have some symmetry between certain fronts that you run defensively. You might bring a different blitz look. It might be the same blitz, but from a different launch point. You might bring and say, you know what, this would be good to add to what we're doing, and it doesn't change anything we're doing. It just is a little wrinkle. Same thing on offense. So having more of those people gives you an advantage, no question.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, is with us. And, Chris, is there – I know I've asked you this several times. We're about a minute out on the break. But Eric Gilbert, not today's new news, is
right.
Apparently not going to Florida. But is any feel on what's going on here without being invasive?
I have been told it's – personal issues, and I, to be honest with you, and I know you're kind of like me in this, I don't want to know what the personal issue is. It's personal. That's why it's personal.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it's anything sinister. Again, I didn't ask. My concern was it's been kind of couched to me as I don't know that he's for certain he's going to play this year. I don't know that he's going to be able to. I don't know where he is academically. I don't know what he's done or what he hasn't done. And so I would say the story is a one, not where he's gone, but is he going to be eligible this year? And that's going to have an effect. And then two, where he's going to go, I think that's secondary to obviously the first question.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. More of Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all of his college and pro information. That's coming up after the break. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
Another topic that maybe we don't spend a lot of time on. It'll be interesting to hear Chris talk about this. 24/7 has released, and I don't remember what day it was, a list of the best facilities in college. And they've got Clemson 1, Oregon 2, Alabama 3, A&M. They got South Carolina number 5. I won't go down the long list here. People can find it easily. Chris, talk about, and this started back probably in the 80s, certainly 90s, the arms race facilities. When are facilities a factor? Where's the dividing line between they've got hundreds of millions over here in their facilities and they've only got 20 to 30 million over here?
Well, it is an arms race. You remember the best facility, the original best facility was Nebraska. It's what separated them. They had the first biggest weight room, and they had it when others were just not really doing it as much. And that's what kind of made them special. They kind of realized it's Lincoln, Nebraska. It's cold. You come here, we got to make this something unique and special. And then, you know, obviously with the TV money, everybody's doing it. So it is an arms race. So there are a lot, most people have good ones. Some have a little bit more opulent than others. Some a little bit more functional, and I think it's a matter of pace. I mean, I think you can look at spaciousness. I think they're all important now, because here's what happens. So it's what really helped Nebraska to separate themselves right back in the day, and then others got really good facilities. Because I was at LSU, the whole time I was at LSU, we had, of the 10 teams in the SEC, we were 10th. It wasn't Vanderbilt. Yes, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss. We had the worst. We didn't have facilities. We had offices in the stadium, and we had the practice field that we bussed every day. It was the worst. But everybody started to kind of get to that level. Well, you got to do it, because if you don't, then you go over there and you say, what the bleep is this when you're recruiting? So everybody has to have something really good. I'd say that Clemson's got the most toys, Oregon's the most gaudy, meaning, I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know, with the little, I guess you would call, not ceramic, but, ducks hanging from piano wire look. I think Alabama's the most functional. A&M's really good. I don't know. I'm just thinking about things that folks might be interested. Because I hear this a lot of times. People ask me, they say, well, I think this. And I'm like, well, when did you go to their facility? Oh, I've never been there. Well, how the hell can you rank their facility if you've never been there? Oh, what's the game? No, that's not what they're talking about.
Saw pictures.
The biggest office is Lincoln Riley. It's how could I describe it? Think of an L shape, a huge L shape. And the L at the bottom would, like at the end of it, would be like where his desk is. And then it's kind of the office. Then there's like a bookcase, trophy case thing that kind of hides the desk area and the whole other area, which would be kind of the long L. That's like a huge, like a Rich Holmes living room. I mean, it's just like, I have no idea. You know, maybe 1,200 square feet.
Wow.
Just in that area, not including where his desk is. Nick's office is at Alabama's big, not the biggest. It's got a lot of heavy drapes, and so there's a lot of different functions. Northwestern's is really neat where they've got it there. The locker room at LSU's really, really, really cool how they have it set up, where you go into the locker and you can conform the seating area to a bed. It's really important, Bill. And other programs like you'd be surprised, I think. Florida is just starting to get into it. They've not had a whole lot. The whole Pac-12 has been behind. I would say the Pac-12, what they have built, say, the past decade, has probably been refurbished 3 or 4 times over in the SEC. And that's, you know, the money, and that's part of the reason why it doesn't look the same. Now, Oregon's notwithstanding. USC's done a lot. They used to be in Heritage Hall for years. UCLA has got their first nutrition center ever. But anyway, that's probably more information that you were looking for.
Chris, you brought up Florida. I had Jeremy Foley on 06, 07. I don't remember the exact year. And that topic came up, and he's indignant about it. I mean, he was defensive. We're not in an arms race. That is vastly overrated. We don't look at it like that around here. And I'm just thinking, dude. And he did a good job at Florida. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but he was not into that topic at all. Most ADs will happily acknowledge what you're saying, Chris. We've got to be doing this. We don't have a choice.
Look, I dealt with it, you know, God rest his soul, Joe Dean, you know.
Right.
Just you know, just didn't – y'all winning, you know. My 5 years here, won 3 SEC titles. I mean, it was – well, you're winning without it. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just, but eventually it catches up with you. And
so you're docked for winning. You're docked for winning.
Yeah, it's like don't win so much, and we got an excuse. Well, we're not looking for an excuse. You know, we're doing – but, I mean, I'm telling you, I can remember because I remember 1 year, I was on the road doing advanced scouting for us, and I went to Vanderbilt facilities at the time, and I had a friend on the staff there, and we were scouting a team that Vanderbilt was playing. And so I went over, and we weren't playing Vanderbilt that year. So I went over that Sunday morning before I caught my flight back to Baton Rouge and delivered my report. And I went there, and it was like, good Lord. And this was Vanderbilt back in the old days when they weren't even a tenth of what they are now, and their facility's not any good now. And that gives you an idea how far it's come. You know, of course, that was a long time ago, but that's I think that you'd be surprised that the Mississippi schools have figured it out. But a lot of those programs, when others do it and you don't, it says something about you, and you can't really survive without it, quite frankly.
Julia in Atlanta, ask Chris if Southern Cal's uptick in recruiting is enough to overcome poor coaching and win the league.
Well, their recruiting has certainly picked up, so I'm excited. The key is, maybe the key is, can they do enough to be effective enough for him to see this recruiting class start to pay dividends? There's some talent there. They have been under coach. I think it's a it's been an issue there. Coaching, I don't know that they win the conference. I don't know, but I think they should be the favorite in the South, and we'll see if they can, you know, my guess is they'll probably drop a game or two that they shouldn't, even though they've got pretty good talent.
Yeah, they've always, Chris, and you and I can go back to before John Robinson with that program, but even when their recruiting classes randomly, like 2 years ago, aren't ranked high, you look at that roster, it's always got NFL talent littered on it. I mean, it's
– Yeah, they're not – they can. They're doing better recruiting, there's no question, but that's not the only reason why, you know, it's – I don't like what they're running offensively. That's the one offense that's more air raid. You know, all this, people say, well, everybody's running this air raid. No, they're not. There's two people that run in the kind of the what is considered the air raid, Mike and the one that's closest is Graham Howard at USC. And I don't like that at all for USC. I just think that is that takes in – it handcuffs the talent that they do have personally. Puts good, you know, yards and numbers, but – they don't play. They can't protect leads. They've got line of scrimmage advantages that they lose because of how they play. I don't like it there. I really don't. I don't like that fit.
Chris, one more here, and it just hit me. And I don't even know who it was. You get this probably 50 times a day, just this general topic. But some scout, and maybe a list I was looking at, said that they thought Justin Herbert, who had an outstanding year, as we all know, is a better talent than Trevor Lawrence. Is there validity to that?
Sure there is. It's – look, Trevor is outstanding. Look at Justin Herbert. He's big. Look at him. This guy's 240 pounds.
He's a tight end.
He can move.
Yeah.
He's built – he and Trevor built similarly. You know, Trevor's not quite as filled out. Justin Herbert had a phenomenal year. And the questions about could he lead and was the alpha dog leader, that's where Trevor's looked a lot better and is a little bit more vocal and more of a rallier. Justin's a little bit more of a quiet leader. So they're different. He had a great year this year with the Chargers. And he's got, I think, some pretty good talent. I think that's a great job because of the talent and because of him. I'll say this, that I think that there's no question. I know Burrow played well before he got hurt, but there's no doubt that he has the most ability. It's just the intangible part was a question. Burrow had an advantage there, but there's no doubt. Off of the 1 year, there's no doubt who looks like the best of that group that the Chargers may have gotten him.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all your information.
Hey, LandryFootball.com is where you go. That's the hub for everything. We're growing. We're really excited about it. Obviously, we're focusing a lot on the NFL draft and free agency, which is right around the corner in the NFL. But recruiting every day, news and notes. We wrap up recruiting every week. The key commitments, you know, certainly in Power 5 and beyond. Got our college notebooks each and every day. That's 2022, 2023, even 2024 with FSU getting a 2024 commitment this week. A lot of news there. We'll be probably hearing more and more about we'll talk next time the latest on Arch Manning, if you want, and kind of what it's too far off, but kind of where that's looking, at least at this stage. It might surprise some folks. And then, you know, obviously all the NFL stuff, the college stuff, the film room stuff, the draft boards, the free agent boards, the podcast, the Twitch channel, we've got it all for you. We're going to be opening up a scouting academy that I think people are going to be really interested in learning more about. So check it out at LandryFootball.com. We've got our scouting season sale. So we think you'll absolutely love it.
Chris, is there an early clubhouse leader for Arch Manning?
Well, I was going to say real quick as we go out the door.
Sure.
Ole Miss would be, let's see where Lane takes it. If he continues to get better and he stays there, they would be there. But watch out for Georgia. He really likes Georgia. Let's see what Georgia does with their offense. Clemson he likes a lot. He does like Alabama. I guess who doesn't? But I wonder, Nick will be there when he gets there, but will he? Look, Nick will be 76 by the time he finishes college because he's going to be there at least 3 years. So I don't know. And then the one that makes – look out for Oklahoma. Really likes Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma. So let's – because it's such a long way off, is Lincoln going to
sure.
be there? Is Lane going to be there? Is Georgia's offense become a little bit more modern because he really likes them? I would say that that would probably well, it's really, really early. I would just leave it there and say that's kind of what he likes right now. And I think it's going to be probably become – I don't think it's not going to surprise you. It's not going to be somewhere in the Midwest or the West Coast. It's going to be somewhere – Southern, and I think, we're going to have to see. I mean, think about it. Georgia and Clemson, of those programs that I mentioned, those are the only two that I can pretty much, I'll stamp and say, the head coach that's there at those places are going to be there definitely. Whereas the others, you might say, I could see a scenario where Lane might leave or Lincoln might leave or Nick might, So that's kind of interesting to have three of the five where you're not quite sure who's going to be the head coach, and that's going to determine a large part of it.
Outstanding, Chris. We'll see you next week, sir.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.